Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I am Matthew Nickel, and joining me today is our senior defensive end and captain, Nick Hogan. So, Nick, thanks for joining me here on a night after practice.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolutely, man. Well, you know, yesterday I spoke with Braden, Smith on the offensive side. So, you know, this is kind of a great, you know, segue. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball and talk, you know, just a little bit about the Simpson game. Man, it was a close one. I know you and I were texting a little bit after the game. What was kind of the sentiment, you know, from the, on the defensive side of the ball, and just some takeaways, you know, that the team had?
Yeah, it was a wild game. That was for sure. I mean, we came up first quarter for 14-3. So we felt kind of confident, but, you know, some things happen, interception, kick return. But, I mean, overall, we just try to stay on them, just keep the gas on. And then they kind of just, those little things, they were able to climb back in. And then going into halftime, we were just like, whoa, like what happened? We tried to get dialed in, just try to keep the boys fired up. We figured at that point, we'd seen everything that their offense can throw at us and what they usually do. So we just kind of just made some checks, just made some adjustments, and then just went out there and were like, we just got to get on top of them, just full go. But I think it was came out second half a little bit better. Towards the end, though, I mean, Jimmy McCoo, that transfer quarterback, I mean, he really showed his clutchness in that end. He kind of really led the guys. And Jacob Garbett, the freshman kicker, for making that final, I can't remember if it was a field goal or extra point, but to tie it up and really send us into overtime, that was huge. And I mean, as a freshman, I can't imagine that pressure. Yeah, you know, the guy hitting you, he gets hurt, and then you got to go in not thinking you're really going to play at all. Cause I mean, how much do you think kickers get hurt? But that's pretty much it, though. Going in that overtime, just figured coaching wise, just plugging gaps. And we didn't really want to send pressure, because we didn't want to have an open guy, but we wanted to get some natural pressure at the D-line without letting the quarterback go through any gaps. But, it's crazy.
Yeah, man, it was. Let's talk a little bit about the game. So Jacob Garbett, 2 seconds left, 36-yard field goal. I mean, that was a 2-minute and 46-yard drive. 15 plays, 53 yards, and then just to nail a 36 yarder, right there, the time expired is awesome for one. Now, I will say it was an interesting game of kickers, though. I mean, they had Simpson had a kicker. I mean, nailed two 49 yarders. When I saw him line up for it, I'm like, all right, well, let's see how close he gets. Not one, but two. So, it was cool to see kind of all phases, right, of the game kind of come together, and it was a little too crazy, I think, for my blood pressure. I was down here actually watching it in the basement and kind of had to get away because I was just it's the same thing, man. I mean, I'll be 43 years old in a couple of weeks, and it's like I still get like nervous going into game days. I'm not even playing, but I'm just like nervous for you guys. I'm like excited. You know, kind of all the things still come back from, gosh, when I was a freshman in 2001, like all the same nerves, doesn't matter. So, but let's talk about like that overtime. You know, that was huge. And you know, Zach Gray coming up with knocking that thing down. And, you know, I shared that, you know, with my boys and we were talking. I was like, you know, that's the best thing you can do as a lineman is if you can't get into the backfield and get to the quarterback, get your hands up and knock the ball down. And like, that was just a perfect example of that. So, you know, how'd that feel kind of walking away and how did you guys celebrate and kind of rally around Zach?
Oh man, it was great. I mean, once I look out, I see the quarterback throw it and I'm like, oh no. And I see it get tipped and go to the ground and everybody just running on the field. But I mean, I gave Zach a pat on the butt, man. I was like, hell yeah, dude. I mean, way to get your hand up there. It's definitely something we teach, but just, you know, right down to the wire. Absolutely.
It absolutely was. Well, you know, unfortunately, right on the other side of things, right, it was a, you know, as a game of injuries, you know, and a number of guys, you know, certainly, you know, walked away with, you know, with some bigger injuries, some guys that are, you know, we'll hopefully get back here in the next week or two. But it really kind of allowed a couple of other folks to really step up. You know, I know, you know, Dino Hunt, he had a really good game, you know, stepping in, he had 9 tackles, you know, Peter Stapleton came in, he had 5 tackles. You know, who are some folks kind of just generally speaking, can we maybe anticipate seeing in the secondary or on the defense now that, you know, going to start to get maybe some more playing time because of, you know, whether it's bumps or bruises or some of the injuries.
Yeah. I mean, it's really unfortunate, but, you know, I mean, you got to kind of be professional about it. It's next guy up. And, Peter and Dino have had a lot of experience in the past, maybe not starting, but they've had, some experience a couple of years ago or not a couple, but, last year, but, D tackle wise, we also, I don't know what the exact situation is on TJ Klein, but you know, I don't know how for sure he is coming into Wheaton, but there's a couple of younger guys probably going to step up, have to fill that role. Cause I mean, D tackle, you got to have it. You got to be able to own the trenches. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's a lot of, you know, anticipation for him to kind of fill that spot. And I mean, like anything, right. I mean, it's, you know, folks are going into junior and senior year. They're getting kind of the starting nod. I mean, especially with like Hugh Keeney, you know, having graduated, you know, it's all about reloading kind of year after year. But man, week one is really about, can you get out of it, you know, kind of unscathed and, you know, certainly weren't as lucky this year, but you know, you had 3 tackles, you had half a sack. You know, I still want to give, I was looking at some of the stats here. I was like, you know, Zach had 4 tackles, had a tackle for loss. I'm like, what? He should get a pass breakup for that, man. Like he should get something for that. Like, come on. I didn't see it on the stat sheet. That's right. How'd you feel like, you know, you played, right? I mean, you know, last year, you haven't, you know, gotten, you know, a ton of reps, right? Cause you always had, you know, some issues, you know, a little bit with your knees and stuff and just, you know, trying to get back into the swing of things. How did you feel on Saturday?
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely coming back from, that knee injury from both my knees, that was kind of rough, but just trying to prove myself, I wasn't super pleased, I guess I'd say. You know, you always want to do better. The senior, the captain, you always want to lead everybody from the front, you know, just be kind of owning everything. But I think there's definitely a couple things I need to work on. But it was an okay start. It was decent, you know, personally. But as a team, you know, that's not the type of game you want to get into, is a close game like that. But I'm glad we were able to hold out and go over to overtime and just win. You know, I mean, mentality-wise, that was great. Everyone was still fired up, just ready to go. So,
you know, I always think about like key moments in the season and like what are defining moments in the season. And, you know, when I go back a couple of years to Isthmus Bowl run, you know, a key moment was the overtime win against Carroll here at home when, you know, Johnny Breeden came across the back and knocked that ball out of bounds and we ended up winning. And it was just such a defining moment, I think, along with like beating Wash U. I go back to this one and, you know, even though it's a non-conference game, I think it's such a defining moment for this group starting off to be in the trenches, show some true grit. And you know, that's not exactly where you want to be. However, you know, you also learn a lot about yourself and a lot about the team, you know, when things come down there and, you know, all the things need to happen. And, you know, if everyone does exactly what they're supposed to do, right, just one thing needs to go right, you know, so everyone was doing what they needed to do. And great. The one thing that needed to happen was Zach needed to knock the ball down or tip it. And that's what happened. So I think it's just such a defining moment for this team this year. It's like, it's a springboard, I think, regardless, going into bye week is how I, you know, how I continue to look at it. But other than that, I mean, you know, as I think about like you coming back, what did you do in the off season, you know, to make sure you're kind of coming in and feeling your best? Like, what did the off season look like for you?
Oh, the off season was rough. You know, I mean, I think the fifth game was my last one. I think that was against Elmhurst or North Park last season, but that was it. My knees just, I tore ligaments on both sides of my knees and they just swelled up pretty much to where it was like a cast and I couldn't move my legs at that point. So I had to get surgery. And then right after that surgery, just got to work, just PT as soon as I can, working out as much as I can, you know, doing whatever it takes, even having to get my knees drained a couple times, which that is, that's interesting. It's kind of a painful experience, but you got to do what you got to do. And then,
yep.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. It's a needle about that big.
Yeah.
But going into that winter, you know, just grinding, absolutely, along with classes and everything else and working, but just grinding and then just trying to be a motivator for all the guys. And then by the time we got to spring, I was like, I want to see, break off the rust, see what I got, you know, see if I can still move with post-surgery and everything. So it was huge, but I just had to make that climb back.
What do you feel like you learned about yourself during that process?
I learned how much I really cared about football, because not being able to play those last five games with your guys, you know, you really feel like you're kind of letting them down, letting the family down. I know you spend this long, you're really bought in, you kind of just, you feel sad that you can't help, you know, help the team. But it was definitely a internal search I had to go through just to kind of get there. Because, I mean, it's not fun, you know. You kind of get down on yourself, but you can't sit there or else nothing will get done. So,
yeah, I mean, you ride that wave, right, of emotions. It's like upset, disappointed, angry, sad, mad, happy, motivated, right? It's you know, it's really about, you know, how you can find other ways to motivate yourself. And it's just to go and, you know, do that next workout. And sometimes, man, those workouts they're brutal. They're painful. You know, and you're like, you're doing them with a lot of doubt. I remember when I tore my ACL and I was, you know, going through it. And this was after I graduated, but you know, you start to doubt yourself so much. Like, am I going to be able to do what I did before? Am I really going to trust my knee? Am I really going to trust, you know, to do this or do that? And, you know, you just kind of trust the process and eventually just kind of let it go. And what happens is going to happen. So You know, it's kind of like you put all the work in and let's just go do this thing. So, yeah, so it was good to see. It was good to see you and, you know, a number of other guys, like, you know, like even like Max Castle, right, was another one. You know, it was good to even just see him, you know, at the Loras scrimmage. You know, because heck, the last time, you know, I saw and talked to him in person is he was either just going in to have his back surgery or just came out of it, one of the two. So,
and that's huge. It's tough. I mean, we talked with him a couple times and just like guy to guy, I mean, we're just like, hey, like, are you coming back? Because I mean, that's a huge thing. I mean, you're back. I mean, that messes up once. I mean, you could have some serious, like, serious injuries, you know, that affect you throughout your life, you know? And so, I mean, he came back, he worked hard, worked his butt off, man. I've never been prouder of somebody.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, being a captain specifically. How would you just kind of generally describe yourself as a leader, like in your leadership style?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we picked captains end of the spring practices, but it was kind of a surprise. I mean, it wasn't something I was really kind of climbing towards or like, oh.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I want to be the captain, but I'd say my overall leadership style is just kind of being a general motivator and trying to bring the energy, whether we're at practice or lift, you know, trying to lift guys up, you know, get them hyped, you know. But I'm not a big speech guy, but I will say things when they need to be said or when I feel like they need to be said. I kind of just try to be a teacher, especially the young guys coming in, you know. I mean, I know the system because I've been here the past 4 years, so I feel like I could do that, show them what it's about, why we do it, especially to try to get them bought in, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also just kind of police, try to be, get everybody focused on ATD or attention to detail. And it's just about the little things, doing everything right. You know, I mean, cleaning up, having your jersey tucked in at practice, just small stuff like that, you know.
Try and be professional, right? At the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the little things. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was going to say, but of course, like, you know, it's the little things. And, you know, some people will complain. They'll be like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? But it's the big picture. You know, you get the little things right, then you can do the big things, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, I talk about this at work all the time, you know, whether it's my team or other teams, but it's like, be great at the, you know, at the core things of what you do within your role. And even when I'm coaching my third and fourth grade team, like, yes, I know we're going to do this 40 or 50 times. Yes, I know each practice we're going to spend 25, 30 minutes going over proper fit tackle technique, whether it's your hawk tackle, your gator tackle, you know, shuck and go to the tackle wheel. And, you know, I know sometimes it's like, why are we doing this? And why are we stopping? And I'm like showing you how to like get separation, you know, and kind of and pop the pad before you, you know, rip off and go. And it's about getting separation, getting your feet set. And I know you're just like, oh God, but it is, it's about like, let's get the basics. Just, you know, do them so well. It's hard to get it wrong. And,
yeah,
you know, I always tell folks in my company, like, that I work for, it's like, I don't care. Find one thing you want to be great at. And if it means that day in, day out, you're going to be the team that always turns the light off at the end of the day, like just rally around something and go be the best at it. So, you know, so I love when I kind of hear you talk about like the details of things. It's, you know, all that stuff really does matter, because the more you focus on it, right, it's like you're so prepared come, you know, game day. And everything now just becomes second nature, where it's just, you just kind of rip and respond and go, you know, go do your assignment. And you have a lot of trust for that person next to you.
Oh, yeah, of course. And then the coaches know that they can trust you, put you in the game, you know, when it comes to those tough times, like that final stand, you know, you want to have your best guys, the ones you can trust the most.
Absolutely. Well, I was talking a little bit about, you know, kind of being at Augie. I was looking, you know, over the past few days, and, you know, you're a finance and accounting major. So, how did you kind of land on that as a track for you?
Yeah, I started out, I wanted to be, I came in as a freshman. I was kind of focused on being a nurse probably or something like that. So doing 4 years here and then going to another school, do another year or two. But I had my first chem class. That didn't go so well. And then I realized that I had to do
Why is it always chem the chem class? It's like, you know, like, oh, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the teacher or if it was just the material, but it wasn't for me. I figured that out. And then a lot of guys on the football team are finance or accounting guys. So I was like, hey, I might be good at that. So I took my first accounting class and I was like, yeah, I can do that. I really like it. I really like the numbers. It's something I could see myself doing for sure.
Well, you know, this, I know this past summer you were interning at O'Shea Builders. You know, I watched your, you know, the video interview they dropped yesterday, which, you know, I thought it was good. And, you know, now I need to know though, because they said, you know, one of the things I think you were asked to answer was, you know, what was one of your most favorite things? You said that you mentioned the outrageous games. And you know, get bucked from the bull. Like, what? So, all right, I got to know about the outrageous games. What was it?
I interned at O'Shea. And every year or so during the end of the summer, they try to do the outrageous games, which is just kind of like a just kind of a celebration, like a day from work. And they just try to have a good time with their team and everything. And we do like obstacle courses. You get in groups and then you do these obstacle courses and then these challenges and you get points along the way. And there's a prize obviously for first, but one of the challenges was a mechanical bull. And they had that thing turned all the way up and they're just winging people from side to side. And it was probably the funniest thing to see.
Yeah. Now, so did you have to get up on the bull then, or did you have someone from your group that did it?
Oh no, I took that one for myself. I went up there. I think I got 24 seconds to give or take. So
okay.
I think that was pretty good.
All right. Yeah, when I heard get bucked from the bull, I was like, okay, there's gotta be a mechanical bull in here somewhere. So that's pretty cool. So what did you do at O'Shea Builders? Like, what was your internship like?
It was a lot of processing invoices, mainly from vendors, just like materials or like tools and stuff, because they're a construction company. But I got a chance to work with the CFO and the treasurer on a couple projects, just doing some base stuff, like some scoreboards or like a bank reconciliation. But I had a great time. I learned a lot, made a lot of great relationships with some people. And yeah, definitely going to look forward to that when I graduate, kind of see if they need some help there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, are you going to go get your CPA then, or study for it afterwards, or what's your plan there?
Yeah, that was pretty much my plan. As soon as I get done with that winter, kind of look at it, really see what I need to do, because they just passed a law that we don't have to do an extra year or so to get 150 credits. It's just another year of experience for working. So that'll be nice. That's really good for me. So, yeah, I'll probably start studying for the CPA as soon as school gets over.
You know, that's actually nice, because I know there's been a few folks I've talked to that have been finance majors that have had to come back for, you know, another fall, you know, to ensure they had, you know, all enough credits. And so is that just a Illinois state law then?
I think that is. Yeah. Just in Illinois.
Okay. Well, nice. So are you going to try and go back to O'Shea then on a full-time basis, or what is kind of, you know, stuff after college look like for you?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely want to get my CPA. That's first. I'm pretty sure a lot of states are starting to come to that now where they're going back down to 120 instead of 150. But probably going to go back home because that's where O'Shea is. And see if they need my help. If not, probably try to work somewhere else. But I think long term, kind of looking outside Illinois, mostly towards the west and the south around Texas or Colorado, give or take, that's kind of somewhere where I hope to end up.
All right. Why like Colorado or Texas?
I grew up in like southern central Illinois, a real small town, real, you know, small pond. Coming up here was nice. I got to, you know, learn a lot about the world, about the people, you know, and get to, you know, just experience that. But I think I've always wanted to have my own place with, you know, 100 acres or so and just quiet, be out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, gosh, you want to buy a bunch of acreage in the middle of nowhere, you could probably get down in, like, New Mexico. You know, there's – I know that's – you know, you can get quite a bit down there. Now, trying to get 100 acres in Colorado, well, you better have – $20 million. So those are the places I, you know, me and my son look at, you know, we just dream like, oh, it'd be nice to have that, you know, out in Colorado or out somewhere out in Montana. We're just still trying to find like 5 acres here in Eastern Iowa. So, I like it. I like it. Now what advice, you know, you're a senior, you know, you've had a ton of life experience. It's kind of last year, your last hurrah here. What advice would you give to underclassmen or even in particular freshmen on the team?
It's a good question. I think I would just work as hard as I can, talk to the coaches as much as you can, try to have meetings, figure out, let them know how bought in you are, and just try to see what you can do, learn from everybody, take everything in, you know, obviously with a grain of salt, you know, but yeah, that's pretty much it. That was a good question.
What's been, you know, maybe your favorite memory so far during your career at Augie?
Damn. Other than probably joke night, probably just winning huge games like Wash U and Carroll with the guys and just getting to celebrate afterwards and now just get closer as a brotherhood. We always try to say, we're like a family, but, you know, everybody tries to say that. But I think we really do focus on that. We harp on it. It's outside of football. It's in everything, too. So,
yeah, it really is. You know, you mentioned the Wash U win. I don't know if I ever hugged any more, you know, a higher number of dads, you know, after the game than up there because I traveled down and watched that one. And we were up on the kind of the back flat top area in the stadium and oh my Lord, that was a ton of fun. That was a big one. You just kind of took me back to a quick memory. You know, it's funny. I was looking at some of your stuff from Huddle and you know, when you're in high school and you played both, you know, D end and tight end, like let's say, you know, hypothetically, you know, you were going into a Hall of Fame. Would you rather go into a Hall of Fame as like a just a nasty D end or, you know, just a prolific pass catching like tight end? Because I tell you what, you high pointed some good balls there on some seam routes coming off the tight end. It looked pretty natural, man. It looked pretty natural.
I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, you know, in high school, I liked tight end a little bit more. You know, I wasn't having to block 300-pound guys or, like, go against them every day. So, you know, be able to run some routes, that was nice. But I think probably a nasty DN, you know, the kind of aura from that. I mean, everyone knows you or you're going into another game or something. They'd be like, fuck, I got to play this guy, you know. I'd like to have that.
Yeah, the game planning for you, right? Game planning for you. Absolutely, man. You know, it's funny. I remember my freshman year when I got recruited to Augie, I wasn't quite sure. Like I was a tight end, but I was an undersized tight end, but I was really more of a route runner than anything. I was only like, gosh, maybe 186, 194 pounds, something like that. And then I played kind of outside linebacker, middle linebacker, again, kind of undersized. But when I went to Augie, I was like, well, all right, am I going to go play tight end or am I going to go play like secondary? And I remember I lined up and I was going against Mike Brazil. And again, Mike Brazil, what did he squat? I mean, I remember he was like repping out 350 plus, like it was nothing. And I went, you know, across from him and I'm like, I'm going to rethink what I'm going to do here. So I went and played secondary, went and played corner. So, so yeah, I can definitely see where like the perspective, man, it changes like right away, you know? So I love that. Well, hey, what's something, you know, maybe about yourself? I just got a couple of questions left, but what's maybe something about yourself that maybe many people don't know about you, like talents, interests, hobbies? I threw something out on the tailgate page and I got a really good response from parents. But what's maybe something about yourself that people may not know is a hidden talent or interest or hobby?
I'm not very talented, so I don't know about that, but I guess something just about me is I'm deeply into my faith. I'm a Christian. And so that's something I always try to work on every day, getting better towards. And, you know, we have a group with the football guys. We meet a couple of times a week and we just try to get closer to God and try to do that. But also I'm a big reader. I feel like not a lot of people know that. I always try to read whenever I got time. And I was reading one time in the lounge and some guy was like, one of the guys who's like, "No way, are you reading? Do you have to do that for a class?" And I was like, "No, I just like it, man." And he like kind of gave me some shit for it.
what do you enjoy reading?
Just kind of anything, a lot of psychology, but right now I'm reading Atomic Habits, so that's pretty nice.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's little things. It's funny, you'll find like little niches of things that you like, and especially as you kind of get into your career, you know, you'll find little things. Like for some reason when I travel, I love to read the Harvard Business Review, or if I'm just sitting down, cause it's like on a plane when I'm traveling, you know, I'm away from home. So I'm not, you know, coaching wrestling or football, you know, or not, you know, centered around my kids and my wife and my family. It's like, I have some time I got to fill it in. It's like, you know, you do get a really good sense and kind of fulfillment and satisfaction to read. And, but I tell you what, I mean, though, it seems for me, this is my personal opinion, it gets so much harder to sit down and just kind of enjoy something because you're so preoccupied with, you know, all the things that you got to do. So, so I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I totally get that too. You know, you got to try to find time and you got to kind of pick up where you left off if you're reading, you know, and you're like, man, where was I? You have to get back into it. And then by then, you know, you're off doing something else, like a meeting or practice or class. So.
Yep. 100%. Now, I also hear there's a backyard bar at Casa de Hogan there in Rock Island. How's that been? I mean, you know, I saw some pictures of it being set up. You know, it was brought in, you know, via back of, you know, I'm assuming maybe like your dad's truck or something like that. How are the festivities so far on campus? Is it doing what it needs to do and working well?
Oh, no, it's good. Right now, it hasn't gotten much action. We have a couple rules during the season. You know, you can't drink during the week. So it hasn't gotten a lot of use, but I feel like after the season, it's going to get used pretty much, pretty frequently.
That's nice. That's a great rule. I mean, the thing was huge. I feel like it's like 15 or 20 feet wide. It looked pretty big. How big is it?
Yeah, I think it's about 22 feet wide, and then it's got a little niche on the side. But it's nice just to serve the people. I painted it too, so it's a little more updated now. I got to find something to put on the front of it.
All right. Well, you know, all 4 years at Augie, I mean, we were never always indoors as well. So, you know, backyards are where it happens. So, so that's pretty cool. It'll be a nice little focal point. I was also saying like, you know, there was, as I was just kind of, you know, I like to go through like social media and kind of, you know, look at you know, what folks post and just learn a little bit more about folks as we kind of go into these. But, you know, I see a lot of, you know, pictures with your family and tell me just a little bit about, you know, your family. I saw like, you know, you and your mom were, was at Ticoga, winery, enjoying some white wine there. Tell me just a little bit about like your relationship with your family.
Oh yeah. I got two older sisters and then I obviously just both my parents, but I feel like we're really close. Both my sisters moved out. My oldest sister, Hannah, she had a kid recently on my birthday. So that was kind of nice. Right. But his name's Jet. He's probably, I want to say, 6 months or so old by now. But he's the cutest thing. He doesn't cry at all. He's the sweetest baby. But I feel like we're all really close with each other. We text frequently, update each other on what we're doing and stuff. And a lot of my family comes up to tailgate for home games. So we stay pretty close.
Nah, I like it. And that's the thing I think is so cool, man. I talk about this to, you know, folks outside the Augie community a lot, but just around how tight knit the Viking, you know, parents and family and friends and that community is. And, you know, the tailgate scene is a ton of fun, but just all the interaction and just the bond, like it extends, you know, not just from the players, that bond and friendship extends all the way out to, you know, to everyone, you know, that kind of visits campus, whether you're, you know, family or friends. So it's just such a cool experience. So, well, hey man, lastly, well, and we'll kind of end with this, I'll give you the floor here. You know, anyone in particular you'd like to thank, family, friends, coaches, shout outs, however you'd like to wrap this up, man. Floor is all yours.
No, I just would like to thank you for the opportunity to come on and talk a little bit about me, about the game, about Augie. But that's pretty much it. I really thank you.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy your weekend off. We got Wheaton here at home. I'm actually going to enjoy my weekend down in Savannah, Georgia with two of my best friends. So we kind of had it centered around Augie's bye week, realistically. So that'll be fun. A little quick guys trip to celebrate our birthdays, actually. So that'll be a ton of fun. But then, man, we have, yeah, appreciate it. Absolutely. 43. I keep getting stuff from Augie that, you know, it's my 20th reunion this year, and I don't want to sign up for anything because I don't want to, hey, I'm going to be busy with the game and, you know, tailgating and all that stuff before and afterwards, but, and as busy as it is, was thankful for the pass because that's going to be huge that day. But yeah, I also just don't want to acknowledge that it's been 20 years. So again, just makes me feel old. So, well, hey, Nick, well, thanks again, man. I do appreciate it, man. It was good to connect with you. You know, glad to see things are going well. Glad to see the Vikings have started off really well. Got a win right out of the gate, and we have big test number one here with Wheaton. So have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Have a good night.
If you like today's episode, make sure to just subscribe to the Viking Press Pass.
4 letters, 1 year, 1 word. 4 letters, 1 word.
Yay!
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.